Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You guys can be seated.
Everyone, happy new year. Welcome to the year of 2022. I know that some of us sitting in this room might have mixed feelings about moving into a new year. Maybe on Friday, on December 31st, you were in the camp of this young child who said, "Bring it on," right? Like 2022, what could you possibly throw at us that hasn't already been thrown at us before? But then there are others of us who might have been a little more reluctant. We might have wanted to read some terms and conditions before we ventured into the year ahead. And after our weather yesterday, I think some of us might be searching the fine print to see, like, is there a return policy or some way to make an exchange for another year? But regardless of whether we are sprinting into this new year full speed ahead, ready for adventure, or tiptoeing our way in with trepidation, this new year, it gives us the opportunity for reflection, which is a very important practice, actually. You see, you and I, we do not actually learn from experience as much as we learn from reflecting upon our experience. It is in reflection that we experience transformation. And so today I would like to invite us to reflect together in God's presence. This is actually something we as a people called Methodists have done now for hundreds of years. In our first service of the new year, we engage in a special service called the Covenant Renewal Service. And it's a service that guides us to ponder the past, so that we can more fully offer ourselves to God and one another in the year ahead. It is an opportunity for us to look back so that we can then look forward and discern, what is it that I want less of? And what is it that we want more of, both individually and collectively as a people together? These are actually questions that are raised for us from the scripture passage that Carla just read for us. The truth is, there are some things that rob us of life. Lies and loss drain our joy. Hurry and hustle distract us from what matters most. Comparison and competition, they snatch away our contentment, while worry and woes weary us and wear us out. There are forces at work in our world that try to lead us toward death, toward languishing. Jesus, he talked about that in that 10th chapter of John. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And if Jesus would have left it right there, then, oh man, we would have been low on some hope, right? But Jesus continues on. He says, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Full life. Abundant life, overflowing life, as some translations put it. That's the kind of life that Jesus came to give to us. The Greek word for life that is translated here is not bios, like the kind of like breath in our lungs, walking around, physical, everyday life that we have, but rather it is the word zoe. And zoe is the same quality of life that God himself enjoys. It is the kind of life that can only come from him and can be sustained by him alone. It is life that is charged with vitality. That is the kind of life that Jesus came to give us. Life that is so much more than some shell of existence. But rather, it is life that is lived with him and through him, to him and for him. Now, if that doesn't sound appealing enough to us, Jesus goes on and he qualifies it even further. He says that he wants us to have this zoe life, not just sometimes, not just in some areas of our lives, not just in little doses here and there, but rather he desires for us to have this zoe life continually in all of its fullness, beyond what is anticipated, exceeding all expectation. The prefix of the word that is there translated to the full, what it means is all around. It means all encompassing. And so what Jesus is describing for us here is a life where all the various different parts of our lives are united and held together by this zoe life that he gives. It's not just that we have this one little compartment of our life where he is giving us this full life, but rather he's envisioning a complete life, a life that's not just spiritual, but our physical life and our social lives and our work lives, our leisure lives, all of it infused with his life. Jesus desires this zoe life that he gives to be the thing that brings all the other parts of our lives into alignment. Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you have ever had a car that has gotten out of alignment? All of us who have driven, right? You know how it goes. Like, you're driving along, and maybe you hit a pothole, or maybe you hit a curb, or maybe you take, I don't know, like a speed bump a little too fast. I've never done anything like that. Yeah, no, I'm talking about myself here, not blaming you this time. Maybe you get into an accident. You know, but there's some kind of incident, right? And following this incident, as you're driving along, you can feel it. You can feel your car pulling in this or that direction. You can feel it, you know, possibly steering you toward those terrible sounding rumble strips on the side of the road. Or worse yet, you can feel it kind of trying to pull you into oncoming traffic. When a car is out of alignment, it pulls us in one destructive direction or another. And the same is true when our lives in general get out of alignment. But Jesus, he desires to bring our lives into alignment in a way that leads us away from destruction and toward abundance. He desires to steer us away from those things that rob us of life toward the things that give us fullness. Rather than just telling us to try like really, really hard to get there, rather than telling us that we just need to be good and do all the right things using our willpower to move in that right direction, what Jesus does instead is he gives us this compelling vision. He gives us this compelling vision of an abundant, full, all-encompassing, unified life to draw us forward. And so I want to go back to those original questions that I posed for us this morning. I want us to pause for just a moment for some personal reflection. And so if you got your order of worship when you came in, on the back of that is a big blank space, and there are pens in front of you. Or if you're more techie and you have your cell phone, you can pull that out and use your notes app. But as you look back on the year that has been, the first thing I want you to consider is this. What do I want less of in the year ahead? Said another way, what is it that's robbing you of life? Is there one thing that's coming to mind? If so, jot that down. And now consider this. What do I want more of in my life? What is it that moves me toward abundance? Again, is there one thing that comes to mind? And then finally, what is just one step, only one, that you can take with God in that direction toward abundance? Maybe you instantly had thoughts that came to mind on those questions this morning. If so, great. If not, take those questions with you this week and spend some time reflecting around them. Now, I know that we just reflected on those questions as individuals, right? But here's the plot twist, okay? Are you ready for it? This abundant life that Jesus offers us and that we so long for, we cannot get there alone. I don't know if you caught it in the passage, but Jesus says this. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The aha of this passage is that abundant life happens in community. It is a compelling vision that unites us and draws us forward in the same direction as a people, not just as disconnected and isolated individuals. You see, from the very beginning, God intended for there to be a people on earth whose life together reflected his life in heaven. It's why God didn't leave Adam all alone in that garden, but instead gave him the gift of Eve, so that the relationship that they shared would reflect the same loving, life-giving relationship enjoyed by the Trinity in heaven. It's why God, when he calls Abraham, he doesn't promise just to bless him, but rather to make him into a great nation. And it's why from there, over and over and over again in the Old Testament, we have God seeking out and redeeming and restoring the people of Israel. Why? So that he could be their God and they could be his people. From the beginning, God intended for there to be a people on earth whose life together reflected his life in heaven. And so it's not surprising that when Jesus came onto the scene, that he invited us to be a part of this very thing, a community that is living as a part of God's full, abundant, heavenly kingdom right here on earth. Jesus, he paints a picture of what this community looks like in John 10 as well. He describes us as a flock of sheep and Jesus himself as our shepherd. Even now, all these thousands of years later, in the Middle East, it still kind of works the same way as when Jesus would have said these words. It's not unusual for sheep not to just be off on their own with their shepherd in a place, but rather for there to be a common fold. And for even maybe like one shepherd to watch over all the other sheep during the night, for them to kind of take turns. But whenever the shepherd would come back in the morning and call for his sheep, or maybe whistle to them, or even like sing a little tune, immediately out of all those mixed up sheep, his sheep come right to him. The shepherd has spent so much time with his sheep. He knows them. He knows their names. He knows their markings. He knows their quirky personalities. But what is more, they know him. In fact, someone else can come into the sheepfold and like say their name or sing the same tune or try to whistle at them, and they aren't going to respond at all. They are not going to move toward that person one bit. They know the voice of their shepherd, and they listen for him. They listen for the one that they trust. They listen for the one whose voice matters most. And when they hear him, watch out, because they're going to go exactly where he is. They don't need a sheepdog to get them in order or to move them along. The shepherd simply walks ahead of them, and they follow wherever he leads them. This is a picture of who we long to be as a community here at Broadway. We desire to be a people in the midst of our larger community listening for one voice, for the voice of Jesus speaking to us and leading us. We summarize the mission that he's given us in three simple words: invite, grow, and serve. And so let's look through that mission together this morning. The first part of our mission is to invite people to become fully alive through a relationship with Christ. The second part of our mission is to grow in our love for God and other people. And then finally, to serve Christ for the transformation of our community and our world. This is our mission. It's what we do together. And it is what we want more of in the year ahead. More invite, more grow, more serve as Christ continues to lead us as our shepherd. But our vision is something else. Our vision is what it looks like when we live out this mission together. It is the result and the impact of us inviting and growing and serving. And over the next month, what we're going to do together is kind of paint a picture of this vision. A picture of the abundant life and community that Christ is leading us toward when we invite, grow, and serve. It is a vision of being a contagious community of hospitality, where all people are welcomed into a family of faith. That's the goal of Invite. The goal of Invite is to create this place where every person can discover their God-given intrinsic worth and their sacred value. And to be a place where people can experience the grace that pursues us and that saves us and that transforms our lives here in this place like nowhere else they can go. It's also a vision of being a life-giving community of growth where hurts are healed, faith is restored, and people come fully alive. That's the goal of Grow. When we grow, the goal is to not just be spiritually fed ourselves for our own like self-improvement and self-help, but rather for us to be healed and whole so that we can build up, not tear down others. The goal of Grow is mutual edification, which 1 Peter 2, 2-5 talks about. It says, "Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." This is the vision, to be built into this spiritual household, to become this life-giving community of growth where hurts are healed, faith is restored, and people come fully alive. And then finally, it's a vision of being a selfless community of action that extends hope to our city and to our world. That's the goal of Serve. The goal of Serve is to join God in his work of redemption and setting things right in our world. You and I, we become the hands and feet of Jesus as we extend hope to the people around us, each of us playing our unique role that we can play, our unique part, and then all together become the complete body of Christ. Ephesians 4 describes this. It says, "So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the vision that draws us forward as we invite, grow, and serve together. It's a powerful picture of what is possible whenever we follow Jesus, but it is also a picture of what's at stake. Our wider community, it needs us to be this kind of people. It needs us to be a contagious, life-giving, selfless community. It needs us to be a people on earth whose life together reflects God's life in heaven. And so as we begin this new year, I want to challenge us to recommit ourselves to pursuing Jesus, our Good Shepherd. And to pursuing the abundant and all-encompassing, aligning life that He came to give us. We are His people. He loves us. He cares for us. He calls us by name. May we be able to discern His voice above and beyond all the other voices in our world. And may we stand ready to follow Him wherever He might lead us in the year ahead. As we come to this table today, we remember that He meets with us here in a special and a powerful way, that He meets with us here extending to us His grace that brings us fully alive. And so as we come today, may we come ready to embrace the grace that He so desires to give to us.